So are you ready
for your show? Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Buenas noches, familia. ¿Qué tal ha ido la semana? Soy Carlos Medina y esta noche nos disponemos a despedir este primer mes del año al ritmo que nos vaya marcando Little Steven. Vamos, con un buen puñado de clásicos del rock. El Underground Garage de esta noche se nos presenta de lo más variadito. Contaremos con la presencia de fantásticos personajes como Brian Jones de los Stones, William Gaines, editor de Easy Comics, además, por supuesto, de descubrir cuál será la canción más chula de la semana, un clásico del Underground Garage. Pero casi mejor empezamos poco a poco. Por lo pronto, el guitarrista de Springsteen quiere recordar un capítulo de una de sus series favoritas. No es ningún misterio que Stevie es un gran admirador de las series y películas de espías. Y esta noche comenzamos el programa recordando una de las más famosas de los años 60, The Man from U.N.C.L.E., de las que, por cierto, recientemente se hizo una adaptación al cine. La serie se emitió en Estados Unidos desde 1964 a 1968 con un total de 105 episodios y contaba las peripecias de dos agentes especiales, uno norteamericano y el otro soviético, que formaban parte de una red internacional de acción que combatía a una organización criminal conocida como Trash. Aquí arranca el Underground Garage de esta noche. Le damos las buenas noches a Little Steven con música Liar Liar, sonando Castaways, aquí en Rock FM. Buenas noches.
I'm watching The Man from U.N.C.L.E. the other night, and the episode is called The Bow Wow Affair, and it's really cool because it featured David McCallum, who was my favorite, you know, Ilya Kuryakin. It starts off with this Dracula-looking dude sneaking up on some cat's window. He lays the guy's pajamas out on the bed and sticks a big knife in the chest. It turns out to be Mr. Waverly's cousin, you know, the boss, so he asks Napoleon Solo, Robert Vaughn, for a favor, you know, deal with this, but it's personal. And Leo G. Carroll, who plays Mr. Waverly, gets to play two parts for a minute. Anyway, Napoleon calls Ilya and says, "Ilya, are you free?" And Ilya says, "No man is free who has to work for a living, but I am available." See, he gets a lot of good lines like that all throughout the show. So since Ilya knows all about the gypsy ceremonial knife that was left in the polka dot pajamas, "We all have our weaknesses," Ilya says about the pajama pattern. And since Napoleon hurt his leg, Ilya takes the case. He goes to a seance, and the gypsy seancing says, "Beware of the wolf." There will be a death in the house tonight. So Ilya stays to protect Mr. Waverly's cousin, and Mr. Waverly's sexy niece says, "Please ask if you want anything, wink wink." And Ilya says, "Everything I want, I have."
I mean, is he cool or what?
But sure enough, the killer does show up and sixes dogs on Mr. Waverly's cousin and kills him. Nice job, Ilya. Upon investigation, it turns out it's all about some stock thing, and this gypsy cat, Del Grovia, is buying it all up. And if you don't sell it to him, he puts some stuff on you that makes dogs crazy and they kill you. So Napoleon puts it in the papers that Ilya has bought up all the rest of the stock. To which Ilya says, "I'll have his teeth for cufflinks." Del Grovia calls Waverly's niece, who's played by this hot chick I've seen in some Star Trek episodes. I think her name is Susan Oliver. Anyway, she tells Del Grovia that Ilya bought it all, but this guy sends the dogs to kill her anyway, just for fun. But with Ilya's help, they get away, and she says to him, "Kiss me. You are human, aren't you?" "Yes," says Ilya, in a vague, certain kind of way. But the gypsies knock him out and kidnap the chick. So Ilya goes to Pat Harrington, who was a regular on a Jack Parr show, and now he's playing Dr. Panzini, the dog expert. And he gets some of that doggy juice that makes them crazy. He finds the house, and the seance chick and the Star Trek chick fight it out. And Ilya throws the juice on Del Grovia, and his own dogs eat him. And that's it. Napoleon drives up, but Ilya and the chick decide to walk home just to spite Robert Vaughn. And who knows why? Just to be cool. And then the very cool Jerry Goldsmith song comes in. And it's a real classic episode, The Bow Wow Affair. You know who's cooler than Ilya Kuryakin? Nobody, baby.
He meets, he stays a stranger. you'll find a pretty face can hide an evil mind. Oh, be careful what you say, or you can give yourself away. Odds are you won't live to see tomorrow.
This is Robert Vaughn. I'm one of the men from Uncle. When I'm playing Napoleon solo, I live dangerously, deliberately. I hope you'll do the same.
Tell me why you cried and why you lied to me.
Solo here.
I've checked out Buddha.
Is he involved?
Well, if he isn't, he's awfully hostile towards freelance designers.
Back. This is Bruce Springsteen, and you are listening to the heart-stopping, pants-dropping, house-rocking, earth-shaking, booty-quaking Little Steven in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Started our Man from U.N.C.L.E. tribute with Liar Liar from the Castaways out of Minnesota. Lying being prerequisite for any decent, upstanding secret agent. Additional soundtrack music for the Bow Wow Affair by Rufus Thomas. Walking a dog, it came to him in the middle of a church service. Thou shalt have no other dogs before me. No, I don't know. Drove back from the church, went over to Stax Recording Studios, where Booker T and the MGs were hanging out, eating barbecue. And there you go. That's how it worked in those days. Secret agent, man, we had to do it, didn't we? Johnny Rivers, the original house band at the Whiskey A Go-Go. P.F. Sloan and Steve Barry writing that one, and the great Lou Adler producing what seemed like everything Johnny Rivers did was live, I think. Huh. I mean, you know. He made like a live album for a dollar and a half and had like six hits off it. Salute, Mr. Adler. Genius, really. Tell Me Why from the terrific third album in a row by the Beatles. This one, of course, the soundtrack to their first movie, Hard Day's Night. They knocked the whole thing off in about 2 weeks. Produced by the great George Martin.
No Direction Home. Cheap Trick. New album coming. They wrote and produced it. Very cool stuff. Party Lights. Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band from the new collection, The Ties That Bind. Everything you've always didn't even know you wanted from the river. Out now on Columbia.
Excuse me while I take a moment and open Channel D.
Seguimos en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche uno de nuestros protagonistas es un músico de gran talento. Me refiero al señor Brian Jones, uno de los miembros fundadores de The Rolling Stones. Jones nació un 28 de febrero de 1942 y dentro de la banda fue el músico que más disfrutaba experimentando con nuevos sonidos. La mandolina o el sitar eran algunos de los instrumentos de los que disfrutaban en sus experiencias musicales y que, dado su talento, manejaba con soltura. Sus grandes aportaciones en los Stones son especialmente apreciables en discos como Aftermath o Between the Buttons. Pero su relación con los otros miembros, especialmente con Richards, no era muy armoniosa, digamos, de modo que terminó por abandonar la banda el 10 de junio de 1969. Un mes más tarde, fue hallado muerto en la piscina de su casa. Fue el 3 de julio de 1969 y falleció a la edad de 27 años, una cifra maldita en el rock. Esta noche recordamos con gran cariño a un gran músico como fue Brian Jones, que bien, es cierto, se despidió quizás demasiado pronto, en fin, quién sabe, pero que respiraba sin duda alguna música en todo su ser. Dale, líder.
It's Brian Jones' birthday this week, February 28, 1942. He starred a little group called the Rolling Stones in 1962. The final lineup coming together January of 63 when Charlie Watts, the drummer, was finally persuaded to join. Bass player Bill Wyman, singer Mick Jagger, second guitarist Keith Richards, and Brian Jones. As the 60s began, a new music trend called rhythm and blues began to challenge the entrenched bar band genre called trad jazz, more or less what we call Dixieland jazz. Ironically, these new Turks, led by Alexis Korner, Cyril Davies, and John Mayall, were encouraged by the man responsible for the success of trad jazz, as well as popularizing the more folky skiffle and opening the legendary Marquee Club, a cat named Chris Barber. Barber would almost incidentally affect history by bringing over Big Bill Brunzi, Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee, and other seminal blues artists. Once Muddy Waters hit England in 1958, the seed was planted. Muddy's band was not just a blues band, but the first hard rockin' band of any kind, and he would influence an entire generation, starting with cats like Brian Jones, who began to play slide guitar like Muddy and Elmore James, very much impressing the young Jagger and Richards. Soon the English music scene would not only be divided by old and young, jazz and blues, but the young were divided by blues on one side represented by Muddy Waters and rock and roll on the other represented by Chuck Berry, with Bo Diddley somewhere in the middle. Brian was a blues purist, but he wanted Mick Jagger to be his singer. Jagger said, "You take me, you gotta take Keith Richards." But Keith was in the rock and roll school, which was considered irrelevant teenage pop music by the blues fanatics. Brian wisely compromised and started listening to the records Keith and Mick were digging, but his idealistic guitar player Jeff Bradford quit in disgust. Brian would be the leader and manager of the Rolling Stones, which he named for about 6 months, during which he made the fatal mistake, literally, of paying himself £5 more than the other guys, for which they unfairly never forgave him. He was doing all the hustling. He did talk Giorgio Gemelsky into giving them a gig at the Richmond Hotel, later to be called the Crawdaddy Club, and he'd write to the newspapers, arguing their case whenever they got a bad review. The problem was he could be very sweet one moment and very nasty the next. He had his first child at 16 and would have four more, none of which he ever really acknowledged. He would beat his girlfriends regularly, mercilessly, and drive to gigs separately, making sure the group knew he was the boss. Andrew Lou Goldham coming in as manager would change the dynamic, and once Jagger and Richards started writing, the power drifted away from Brian, and he never recovered. he would spiral downward quickly with drugs, until finally dying in 1969, either by accidentally drowning or having been murdered by Frank Thorogood, a workman at his house he was about to fire. But his contribution to the first half of the Stones' golden era, their first six albums, was essential. Aside from introducing the unique marriage of androgyny, sexual excess, and a commitment and dedication to the high standards of rhythm and blues tradition, all of which would become staples of the rock and roll culture, he would also play slide guitar on I Wanna Be Your Man, Little Red Rooster, I'm Moving On, and No Expectations. Most of the early harmonica playing was his. He'd play sitar on Painted Black, tambora on Street Fighting Man, marimba on Under My Thumb, Out of Time, and Ride On, Baby, recorder and piano on Ruby Tuesday, dulcimer on Lady Jane, accordion on Backstreet Girl, mellotron on 2000 Light Years, She's a Rainbow, We Love You, and Citadel. And he'd never get composition credit, but he wrote this riff.
Right, how long have you been with the Rolling Stones? Are you one of the original members?
Yes, one of the original members.
What were you doing before you joined?
Well, just sort of bumming around waiting for something to happen, really. You know, I had quite a few jobs and I was trying to get a band going, but it was unsuccessful until I met up with Mick and Keith, and then
where you went?
That was a successful band.
Well, can you think back to your first engagement? Where was that?
Marquee, Oxford Street, London.
Just provided the right thing at the right time. We'd come along with a very raw sort of music where everything was rather sweet. A new sort of tough element seemed to be growing up, and we provided a music that had the same sort of vitality, and we came along at the right time with the right thing. So it's just sort of, you know, happened.
About the sea of love, I want you to brand new. This is Andrew Luke Oldham, and you are with Little Stephen in the Underground Garage.
Baby, here I stand before you with my heart in my hand. I put it to you, mama, hoping that you understand. Mama, and it's sung by all your song. It proves that I'm in heaven, mama, when you hold me in your arms.
Opened and closed with some cool stuff from Brian Jones. We started with The Last Time, something like their sixth single, and the first one, reportedly, that Mick and Keith wrote that they actually liked. The other five singles being two slow songs and three covers, all of them superb, actually, with different releases in England, of course. But Brian wrote that riff, and Andrew Luke Oldham produced it.
Electrocutioner. Yeah, brand new from Soraya. Very cool stuff. Written by Zuzu and Travis. And they produced it with Stephen LaFascia. Get it from Soraya.com.
Nothing But a Heartache with the Flirtations. Written by Wayne Bickerton and Tony Waddington. And produced by Wayne. With arrangement by Johnny Harris. The Ramones, I Want You Around. B-side of arguably the greatest record ever made. Do You Remember Rock and Roll Radio? Always makes my top 10 list of all time. Written by the band and produced by Tommy Ramone and Ed Stasium, as opposed to the A-side, which of course was Phil Spector. And Confessing the Blues, from my favorite Rolling Stones album, 12x5, which didn't exist in England. A couple of the made-up records for America turned out to be masterpieces. That was one of them. No two guitar players have ever played better together than Brian Jones and Keith Richards on that record. And Mick Jagger with a splendid harp solo. Confessing the Blues, written by Walter Brown and Jay McShann, but the Stones undoubtedly got it from the Little Walter, again produced by the great Andrew Oldham at Chess Studios during the Stones' first tour of America in 64. We'll be back. Everybody go locate their secret decoder ring.
Estás escuchando Rock FM. Bienvenido al Underground Garage de Little Steven. Cada semana el guitarrista de Springsteen suele recordar a personajes que, de un modo u otro, han influido en su vida. Esta noche queremos hacerlo con el trabajo del señor William Gaines. Gaines fue el editor de Easy Comics y ya le venía de familia. Su padre, Max Gaines, fue el editor de All American Comics, una división del sello DC Comics. Easy Comics centró su atención al principio en la publicación y difusión de cómics con propósitos educativos y de entretenimiento. Y por aquella época, Easy Comics era especialmente conocida por sus adaptaciones de historias de la Biblia. Esta vertiente fue cambiando cuando William Gaines comenzó a interesarse en publicar historias de terror, ciencia ficción y, sobre todo, de corte satírico. Este punto es importante, ya que, junto a Harvey Kurtzman, Gaines fundó la revista satírica Mad, todo un referente de la cultura estadounidense. La creación de esta revista parecía solo cuestión de tiempo, dado que a mediados de los 50, más o menos, William Gaines era considerado como el editor más amoral de América. Parece que la aparición de Mad era inevitable. Gaines permaneció al frente del proyecto hasta el día en que falleció. Ocurrió un 3 de junio de 1992. Hoy es uno de los protagonistas del show. Gracias por ser tan valiente, maestro. Todo tuyo, Little.
Welcome back to the always swinging underground garage, sometimes called the Purple Pit. Our freak of the week is William Maxwell Gaines, born March 1st, 1922 in Brooklyn, and left us in 1972. He started off as a publisher and co-editor of EC Comics, but would become legendary, to my generation anyway, as the publisher of Mad Magazine for over 40 years. His father had started EC Comics, and when he died in a boating accident in 1947, Billy took over his father's business. EC stood for Educational Comics and featured Bible stories. When Gaines got it, he changed it to Entertainment Comics and began doing horror and sci-fi comic books, which led all the way to Senate subcommittee hearings in the 50s to institute censorship. Here's how it went. Senator Estes Kefauver, yeah, that one, he says, here on the cover of your May 22 issue, there seems to be a man with a bloody axe holding a woman's head up, which has been severed from her body. Do you think that isn't good taste? Yes, says Gaines. For the cover of a horror comic, a cover in bad taste, for example, Gaines went on, might be defined as holding the head a little higher so that the neck could be seen dripping blood from it. Kefauver, but you have blood coming out of her mouth. Gaines, a little bit. Kefauver, and there's blood on the axe. I think most adults would be shocked by that. Well, guess what? The Senate won, Gaines lost, and they censored him right out of business. But that was to our gain, because then he was forced to focus on Mad Magazine, which would entertain and influence at least one generation. God help us. Once a year, he'd take the staff on a trip. The first year, they went to Haiti, where there was one subscriber on the island. They all drove to the guy's house and awarded him a renewal card. He'd do this every year for like the 40 years he ran the place. His philosophy was, we must never stop reminding the reader of how little value they get for their money. He even paid extra to have cheaper looking paper in the magazine. Now that's our kind of freak of the week. William Maxwell Gaines.
Thank you. Hi, this is Nancy Sinatra. You're with Little Steven and the Underground Garage. Very cool place to be.
He's never caught one spy, I'm told. He's never even caught a cold. Got his degree from Disneyland, but he's the last of the secret agents, and he's my man. But he's the last of the secret agents, and he's my man.
Edition. They only put out 17 of these a year.
Boy, they're really socking it to that Spiro Agnew guy again. He must work there or something.
Let's do the fold-in.
Okay. What higher power do TV evangelists worship?
I'll say God.
I'll say Jesus.
The Almighty Dollar!
As it can be.
Well, it's as good, good as it can possibly be. But it's a cup of black coffee. That's what a working man needs. And I'm gonna tell you, back in America, that's the land of the free. You can get anything you want as long as you got that do-re-mi. Well, I'm 12 and 4, and I work like a slave. But I'm independent now, and you know I get laid. I got me a job, I built me a place. From underneath your brother said I don't know make you feel good.
Can't you say anything?
No, he no say nothing.
Shut up.
I am a shut up, but mister, you no understand. Look, he's a spy and I'm a spy. He work for me. I want him to find out something, but he no find out what I want to find out. Now, how am I going to find out what I want to find out if he no find out what I got to find out?
Will you quit annoying me?
All right, I quit. All you got to do is make him stop doing this.
Thank you.
conversations happening with her. Got to keep those good vibrations happening with her. I've got to keep those good vibrations happening with her. Vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
We started our tribute to Bill Gaines with Out of Our Tree. Fantastic stuff from the Wailers out of Tacoma, Washington. Arguably America's first garage band. Ron Gardner, Kent Morrill, and Buck Ormsby writing, Kent and Buck producing for their Etiquette label. The Wailers would become infamous by establishing the rock and roll version of Louie Louie, which would then be copied pretty much note for note by the Kingsmen, who had the national hit. International hit, I'm sure. Nancy Sinatra getting in on the secret agent thing. Wisely so. Lucky for us. Thank you, Nancy. You can take the girl out of Jersey City, but, you know. From How Does That Grab You, Darling? The last of the secret agents.
Black Coffee. Rival Sons, baby. Yeah. Gonna be on their new album coming out. You can get it if you go see them. They put it on the tour edition of Great Western Valkyrie.
Here's a solution to a worldwide depression. Reg Presley and the Troglodytes. Yeah, it didn't fit on the marquee, so they made it Trogs. Good vibrations. Brian Wilson's spinning in his grave. Oh, he's still alive, isn't he? Just kidding. I'm kidding. I know Brian's still around. Mike Love also getting in on the writing on that one. He did the low thing, that's Mikey there. And good job it was. Larry Page, playing hooky from Managing the Kinks, and making some very cool records with the Trogs. We got nothing but good vibrations around here, baby. And when you come back, we got our coolest song in the world this week.
Sigues en el Underground Garage de Rock FM. Toca detenerse en un clásico del programa, el momento en que Little Steven comparte con nosotros la canción que más ha disfrutado durante la semana. Efectivamente, es la canción más chula de la semana. Esta noche el título recae sobre todo un referente del rock, el señor Iggy Pop. El próximo 18 de marzo publicará nuevo disco. Lo hará bajo el título de Post-Pop Depression. Será ya el 17º de su carrera como solista. Este año cumplirá 69 y no parece que en sus planes entre el retirarse. Más bien, diríamos que al contrario. Vamos con ello. Disfrutamos juntos de un adelanto de este nuevo álbum, Gardenia, la canción más chula de la semana del Underground Garage, aquí en Rock FM.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from the rock and roll capital of the world, Muskegon, Michigan. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage the inevitable Iggy Pop. Gardenia in your hair.
a dream, a dream.
All I wanna do is tell Gardenia what to do tonight. All I wanna do is tell Gardenia what to do tonight.
Gardenia, where are you tonight? Shit. The streets were.
Mark Lindsay, former lead singer from Paul Revere and the Raiders, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage. Now stand back. I think my consciousness is expanding out of control.
I will.
another man. And if you see things my way, could you let me know today? But if you decide it's him, I'll change my plans. So now you got yourself a memory, baby. Don't tell me, baby, you can't throw. I got to know what's gonna be.
What do you mean by reading a book? Suppose you learn something. Loyal Moronicans shouldn't read. Take your troops out and have them burn every book in Moronica.
Not my little red book.
Let me see that. June East, 110 Goodnaking Place. Whoopee 4430. Ruby Clutch, OOOG, has car, often runs out of gas. Woo, woo, woo.
Woo, woo, woo. Woo, woo, woo.
I'll keep this.
Oh, a bookkeeper.
Oh, mercy on me. Well, I went to see a gypsy and had my fortune read. She said, "Don, your baby's gonna leave you. The bag is packed up under the bed."
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Gardenia, from the legendary Iggy Pop. Nice to have him back. The album is Post-Pop Depression. Tell me about it. It's just a single at the moment. Gardenia, that is. The single and album are produced by Josh Hami, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I am, it's a miracle. Iggy and Josh and Dean Fertitta and Matt Helders wrote it. And they are also the band. Various members of Eagles of Death Metal and Queens of the Stone Age. And Arctic Monkeys. And oh my, yeah. Anyway, brand new from Iggy Pop, Gardenia, baby.
Paul Revere and the Raiders, we know what label they're on. Columbia, one of our favorites. But who's counting? Their sixth album, Revolution, in 1967. Can you believe that? Him and Me, What's It Gonna Be? Written by Mark Lindsay, the fabulous Mark Lindsay, and Terry Melcher, Terry producing. Also,
Far Out was the Cherry Drops out of Los Angeles. Cool stuff. Get it from thecherrydrops.com.
Don Covey and the Good Timers gave us the original version of Mercy Mercy. The Stones would cover it on their fourth American album, Out of Our Heads. Rumors are Jimi Hendrix is playing on that record. Could be. I don't know, 64 is a bit early. Come back, baby. You know why? Because we got more cool stuff.
Esto es Rock FM y estás escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Estamos llegando ya al final del show de esta noche, pero el guitarrista de Springsteen no quiere despedirse sin dejar antes tus neuronas preparadas para empezar la semana con alegría. Es cierto que esto podríamos hacerlo de muchas maneras, pero afrontémoslo. Estamos en el Underground Garage y preferimos las sorpresas. Prepárate, porque nos espera un viaje psicodélico de lo más divertido. Comenzaremos con The Who y la canción Armenia City in the Sky de aquel disco del 67 titulado The Who Sell Out. Y ya que estamos por las islas, seguiremos con The Pretty Things. La canción que escucharemos juntos será Talking About the Good Times. El resto vendrá a su debido momento. Prepárate, porque comenzamos el viaje. Dale, Little.
Welcome back to Sanctuary. We are here to prepare you for the coming week, the hell you'll be going through, the suffering, the agony, the frustration, the horror, also known as the rest of your life. Don't worry about a thing. We got you covered, baby. In fact, just to make sure we got you covered, we're gonna do a slightly psychedelic set, beginning with something from The Who's third album, The Who Sell Out. That's the one before Tommy, that's right. And we're starting with The Who because it's Roger Daltrey's birthday, March 1st. Did you know that Roger started off as the lead guitar player in the band? Yeah, it was his group. They were called The Detours, and then they became The Who, and then Pete Medden got involved and turned them all into Mods and changed the name to The High Numbers, and then they opened for Johnny Kidd and the Pirates, who were the first important band to have a three-piece setup with a singer, you know, guitar, bass, drums, and singer. And they liked that so much, Roger switched to singer. Pete Townsend went from rhythm guitar to lead guitar. John Entwistle was already there, of course, on bass. In fact, he was Roger's first choice to join the band, and it was at Entwistle's urging that Roger brought Pete Townsend in. And then Keith Moon came in a little bit later and completed the insanity, and they changed the name back to The Who. Happy birthday, Raj.
If you ever want to be sad, Asshole Radio London. Whoopee.
This is Pete Townsend of The Who, and you're with Little Stephen in the Underground Garage. Hey, Stephen, play me some Pretty Things.
China hungers brainwash overpower dam and America hides mad meat in refrigerator. Britain cooks Jerusalem too long. France eats oil and dead salad, arms and legs in Africa. Loudmouth devours Arabia. Negro and white warring against the golden nuptial. Russia manufacture feeds millions, but no drunk can dream of Mayakovsky's suicide. Rainbow over machinery and backtalk to the sun. I lie in bed in Europe alone in old red underwear, symbolic of desire for union with immortality. But man's love's not perfect. In February it rains as once for Baudelaire 100 years ago.
Tomorrow, all you've been. main ambition now is to get back on the road with the horrible Who. The worst rock and roll group in the world.
The worst?
Yes. You couldn't pick four more horrible geezers that make the worst noise that you've ever heard in your life.
There's a scene, she's always hanging around. She's so naive and innocent, stares at you with awe. She's only 14, but she knows how to draw.
Started that slightly psychedelic set with a very cool composition by ex John Mayall roadie John Speedy Keen, who would go on to even bigger and, well, not necessarily better things with Thunderclap Newman. Had the one groovy hit, Something in the Air, with that very weird piano solo. Probably cost them a million records. Very creative, though. I can see the smoke in the room now, you know. Hey man, let's do a jazzy, you know, middle. That'll be really cool. And nobody talked them out of it. But I digress. We were talking about The Who, believe it or not. Armenia in the Sky, their rather bizarre third album, The Who Sell Out. Very, very, very creative at the time. Kind of ahead of its time, wouldn't you say? Making fun of all the advertising that we know. Desperately depend on to break our records. Yes, strange, strange world. The Pretty Things. Talking about the good times, what a psychedelic single that was. The other side of the single being Walking Through My Dreams. From right around their SF Sorrow period. Phil May, Dick Taylor, Wally Waller and the gang. Before John Peel was John Peel, he stumbled into this rather interesting psychedelic group, The Misunderstood, and suggested they come to England, where he would change his name from John Ravenscroft, and they would have one fantastic single, Children of the Sun, written by singer and guitar player Rick Brown and Tony Hill. And what's a psychedelic set without Donovan? Incomplete. That's all I would say. Super Long's My Supergirl from Barabajago. Say that three times fast. Jeff Beck Group in there, both being produced by Mickey Most at the time. We certainly could use Mickey these days, couldn't we? As the art of the producer becomes an endangered species.
I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke, or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool. Andy Babuke's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests, and you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, pues hasta aquí Underground Garage de esta semana. Espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen rato de radio en el que hemos cubierto diferentes aspectos, un poquito de cine y televisión, con aquella serie que era The Man from U.N.C.L.E., una de las favoritas de Little Steven allá por los años 60, qué jovencito debía ser, por cierto. Hemos recordado también la figura del señor Brian Jones y también a uno de esos hombres que tanto ha influido en Little Steven en su juventud y posiblemente a día de hoy también, el señor William Gaines, quien fuera fundador de Easy Comics y también editor de la revista Mad. En fin, rock and roll, música, personajes, de todo un poquito para despedir el fin de semana y comenzar el lunes ya con alegría. Yo ya sabes que te emplazo hasta la semana que viene, hasta el domingo que viene, a partir de las 10 de la noche en el Underground Garage aquí en Rock FM. Hasta entonces, te deseo todo lo mejor. Un abrazo fuerte. Little, buenas noches.